Welcome to the May 18th, 2023 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Roll call.
Kurt Olsted.
Here.
Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James. Carl Ritchko.
Here.
Michael Sabatich.
Here.
Dan Van Abs.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
The Open Public Meetings Act.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time and date and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. This meeting is being conducted at the Highlands Council office located at 100 North Road, Chester, New Jersey. Participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to the close of business on Friday, May 19th, 2023.
Thank you, Annette. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chairman's report. Last month I mentioned the Canals Forest Fire in West Milford, and I found out afterwards, a little postscript about that report, that Tom Taglierini, who's our tech manager and our DJ over there on the board, his son, Tom Jr., is a member of the Forest Fire Service, New Jersey Forest Fire Service, and he was one of the people working on that fire, and he has traveled around the country working on forest fires throughout the nation. And first of all, please thank Tom Jr., and Tom Jr. also is the nephew of Annette. So he is a brave young man. Thank him. Second item I have is a very simple thing. We will be canceling our June meeting. Okay. So we move on now to the Executive Director's report. Ben?
Thank you, Carl. So first I want to point out that it's less than a month since our last meeting, but nevertheless, it was a very busy month for us. The warehouse guidance document that was released at the last meeting got quite a bit of attention from the press, but also from our municipal partners, as people are very interested in that, in utilizing that guidance. It was designed to provide advice to implement at the local level, to make sure that warehousing in the region is properly cited. When we look at what's out there pending, there are approximately 20 million square feet of warehouse projects currently proposed within the Highlands region. It's essential that we be able to provide the appropriate guidance to ensure that when it's built, it's put in the right places so that it doesn't impact the Highlands resources negatively. And also that when it gets built, not only is it in the right place, but it's been designed appropriately, and that the appropriate protections for Highlands resources have been put in place, that the infrastructure can handle it, and that it doesn't negatively impact either the residents or the resources of the region. This is not going to be the last that we hear of this. I think the implementation of the warehouse guidelines is going to provide quite a bit of activity for us going forward. Secondly, on the agenda today, you're going to see that the awarding of a contract based upon the affordable housing RFQ that we put out, we've made recommendations, and the Affordable Housing Committee has made a recommendation about the firm that we are going to engage to provide us with the appropriate guidance, both legal, planning, and technical, on how best to advise the municipalities of the Highlands on meeting the upcoming fourth round affordable housing obligations. What we want to be able to do is ensure that both the constitutional obligation to provide affordable housing and our mission to protect the water supply for over 70% of New Jersey residents are both met in a manner that is appropriate and consistent with the Highlands Regional Master Plan. I would like to add, though, that the municipalities of the Highlands should in no way take this as a signal that they should abandon their current efforts to pursue affordable housing projects that are consistent with the regional master plan, and that if you have a project as a municipality that is consistent with the regional master plan, the Highlands Council is here to provide both technical and financial support to keep those efforts moving forward. Let's start out on a positive manner. The Highlands Council has been awarded a grant from the federal government to update our region-wide open space and recreation plan. We're going to be undertaking the research and work necessary to put that plan together going forward. But that does not and has not quieted my efforts to try to obtain a consistent and dedicated source of funding for land preservation in the region. This is going to be on every executive director's report until I'm successful. Right? I said, it would be like Andy Dufresne and Shawshank. Even if we are successful, I'll break two letters a week from now on to make sure that we have the funding that's adequate to support the open space preservation efforts in the region and to be able to bring some form of...
Hi, everybody.
Some form of equity into the hands of the Highlands landowners. Forest management, again, on the agenda today is a presentation from our staff about their a site visit they made to Spartan Mountain, but that is really just a factual report as to what they saw. We continue to do the research and outreach necessary to put together Highland-specific forest management guidelines that we anticipate will be used in much the same manner that the warehouse guidelines will be used. They're going to be designed to provide forest managers and those who are reviewing the plans, the necessary Highland-specific concerns that are going to be designed to protect the Highlands resources, protect the water supply, and to allow appropriate forest management practices to continue in the Highlands in a manner that's consistent with the Highlands Regional Master Plan. We're not in a position to make a call on whether or not things are appropriate or not this time. We don't have the authority to do that or the factual underpinnings to do that at this point in time. But we are going to continue our work. The science staff continues to work towards that. We are also going to undertake a periodic review of the Highlands Regional Master Plan that was required every 6 years. Only this time around, we're going to do it in conjunction with the 20th anniversary of the Highlands Act to make sure that we can provide a State of the Highlands report that will both document the current conditions here and also look at both the successes and the shortfalls of how we've been able to meet the goals of the Act when it was first put in place back in 2004. We continue, even though it was a short month, we continue to have a lot of things in motion. All the efforts that we've undertaken are continuing to move forward. There's still a lot on our plate. I think we're gonna kind of take a step back from introducing anything new. But even at that, not only do the things that I just went over continue, but there are the day-to-day activities that include things like meeting stormwater requirements, the dealing with cannabis growth facilities within the region, our climate initiative, outreach that continues to the counties and municipalities of the Highlands. And I would point out that we've gotten a lot of interest from Warren County and from several municipalities within Warren County that have always been very resistant to working with the Highlands Council, that have approached us and asked us to work with them. I think that's a big step forward. Have monitoring, our agricultural policies, watershed improvement plans, right? And making sure that the Highlands Regional Master Plan is both recognized and considered by whatever activities any state agencies are undertaking. So it's we're still very busy. We don't need to add anything new to the staff's plate right now, and it's going to keep us working. The one thing I will add is that everything that we do is designed to make sure that our mission to protect the resources of the Highlands, to implement the goals of the regional master plan, and to see that the Highlands Act is appropriately applied within the region underpins everything that we do. As Carl mentioned, we don't have a meeting in June because we don't have any matters that are actionable by the council, but we will be having a meeting in July. And the last thing I want to bring up, and I'm going to do this at every meeting as well, and I do this at every staff meeting, is to thank both the staff and the council for all of your efforts in making sure that we can continue to move forward and continue to to engage the governor's office to ensure that we will, that the appointments that are currently, for the vacancies that currently exist, will be filled at the, in the most expeditious manner possible. But I do understand the burden that it puts on the current members. And again, thank you so much. I didn't thank the staff this morning at our regional mess, at our, monthly staff meeting, but I do mean that I thank them for their efforts. So with that, we can get on.
Can anybody hear me that I'm on or no?
Yes.
Yep.
Bruce James is
on. Oh, good. I was waiting for a break to try to get in there. Ben, you can have talk for you anytime.
I have it written down.
But at least you're informative.
So we have on the phone Council Member James, Council Member Van Abs. How about Council Member Dressler? Are you on the line?
We'll move on.
Do any council members have any questions or comments for our executive director after his report?
Yes, I do.
No, I actually got to listen to the report, so I'm good.
The council member Francis.
We couldn't do all this with good leadership, so thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Very good. Anyone else? All right, we move on now to the approval of the Highlands Council minutes of April 20th, 2023. We may need a motion and a second. Who would like to
also move?
Make that motion. It's moved by Council Member Alstead. We need a second. Council.
I'll second it.
Moved by seconded by Council Member James. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, please vote.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Abstained.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. We now have a forestry presentation from Stamps. I'll turn it over to Ben.
So we have, because of the public interest and the inquiries that we've gotten, I dispatched the science staff from the Highlands to take a visit up to Sparta Mountain to see for themselves so they can report back factually as to what they saw on the ground. So this afternoon we have Alex Hasha and Carolyn Kluby from our science staff who were part of the team that went up there. They're going to present really just the facts of what they saw there, and they'll be able to answer any of your questions about their visit. So Alex, why don't you take it away?
All right, my name is Alex Hasha. I am a resource management specialist at the Highlands Council, and I am going to be reporting out on our visit to Sparta Mountain. All right, so on February 21st, 2023, myself, Kelly Curran, James Humphreys, and Carolyn Klauba were accompanied by Sharon Petzinger, the senior zoologist for the NJDEP, to visit the sites that have been treated on Sparta Mountain Wildlife Management Area. The objectives for this visit were for staff to get a firsthand boots on the ground look at this property to see what had been done. We were going out to see if the activities that have been performed were in line with the activities laid out in the approved forest stewardship plan, and we were there to determine if there were any impacts to Highlands resources. As you can see on the map on the right, the stars indicate the sites that we visited. The list of sites on the bottom left is not in chronological order of visit, but in order of treatment, starting at the most recent at the top, going down to a site that has not been worked on yet. I'm going to be referring to two civicultural practices in this presentation, the sea tree and shelterwood. The largest difference between these is the number of trees retained on site. So the first site that I'll be talking about is the Stand 18 sea tree site. This was completed in the winter of 2022-2023. As you can see, this site has a significant amount of retained wood. The slash in the approved management plan, it was laid out that slash was to be left on site. And as you can see in these two pictures, the slash, which is referring to treetops, branches, and other non-marketable logs, also known as saw logs, are left scattered throughout the property. The purpose of doing this is to, as you can see on the right, help disguise the skid roads that were used. And to help prevent erosion on the site as well. This site has not yet experienced a growing season, so no regeneration was seen at this time. The second site was the Stand 9 Shelterwood site. This site was completed in the winter of 2021-2022. And again, you can see the amount of slash left on site. There was early stages of natural regeneration of desired species, such as oaks and hickories, on this site. The next site was the Stand 8 Seed Tree site. This has been had 3 years since it was treated, so it's had several growing seasons. And as you can see, there is noticeably more regeneration on site. The regeneration occurring is of the desired species laid out in the Forest Stewardship Plan. The next site I'll talk about is the Stand 18 Shelterwood site. Now, this has had some more time since treatment. It was cut 8 years ago, so that is the winter of 2014-2015. There is continued regeneration of desired species, such as oaks and hickories, and there were some non-native plant species observed on this site as well. However, you can see that the undergrowth has grown significantly since the previous picture, and is continuing on the trajectory laid out in the Forest Stewardship Plan. The next site I'll be discussing is the Stand 18 seed tree cut. This one was the oldest treated site we had been to. It hadn't had 10 years since it was cut, so it had a significant amount of time for regrowth. And as you can see in these pictures, there is sustained growth of the desired oak and hickory species. There are also some other early successional species such as birch and holly moving into the site as well. The last site I will discuss is the proposed Stand 7 site. This is proposed for this winter of 2023-2024. This is what a good portion of the forest on Sparta Mountain looked like. As you can see, there's sparse understory. There's some beech present, but there are not oak hickory regeneration going back. So upon completion of this tour, the Highlands Council determined that the activities being performed on Sparta Mountain are in line with those laid out in the approved Forest Stewardship Plan. The anticipated regeneration, which was the goal of this project, is coming back and progressing as expected, and Highlands staff observed no activities of concern related to Highlands resources. And moving forward, Highlands Council staff does plan to continue monitoring this site and doing continued on-the-ground visits.
Thank you, Alex.
Before you have any questions for us, the only thing I want to point out is we did not do this in order to take a position on anything that's going on. This was just a fact-finding mission to go out. We are a long way from being able to put our forest management guidelines in place to make any kinds of recommendations or value judgments about what's going to take place. We anticipate that that's going to be, it's still several months off, but it was just to provide the council with an accounting of what could be observed by the scientists on staff. So if anybody has any questions for Carolyn or Alex.
Any council members have any comment, or council member Savitage?
Yeah, thanks for your report, and thank you very much for going to visit these sites. That was important to do that in light of our mission. You mentioned some of this generation of different species. Does the DEP have a report listing what the regeneration species are and any progress?
We were not provided with that information.
Do you know if they do have a report?
No. I personally do not know.
Why don't they? That's
they
our
may,
money.
They may. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
They may.
But
we'll
don't
look
know.
Into it.
Right. You can certainly find out what they do.
We'll try to find out.
I'd appreciate seeing the DEP's report on this, if they have written one. And if they have not, I wonder why. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions about the forestry report?
Quick question. How big were each of the treatment areas?
10 acres.
10 acres each?
Yes.
Anything else?
Just a general question on the forest stewardship plan. Senator Smith set up a task force last year with representatives from the Forestry Association, Sierra Club, Audubon Society, and New Jersey Conservation. The task force report is out. Will we be working with them with this task force? Are we doing this on our own?
We're doing this on our own to do a Highland-specific addendum to whatever they come out with to make sure that the goals of the regional master plan are fulfilled in any forestry activity. So yes, we're going to that work will exist, and we're going to work off of that. But what we are going to do is going to supplement that work with a Highland-specific bent to it.
Do you have any idea what will be different in the Highlands than?
I don't. We don't know yet. My guess is that it's going to be, if I were to try to project out where we're going with this, it will have a more focus on protecting water quality and quantity to make sure that the resources that are protected by the Highlands Act are protected.
Can they do cover that in here?
Right.
I'd just like to see that we work closely with them.
Yes. We're not going back to undo the work that the task force did, just supplemented from a Highlands perspective.
Any other questions or comments about the forestry presentation? All right, seeing none, thank you again, Alex, and Ben, and everyone else that worked on this. We move on to the Plan Conformance Committee. I just want to find out, Judge Dressler is the chairperson of this committee. Mike Dressler, are you on the phone? All right, he's not, so I will make this presentation.
And
this
Mr. Chairman, for the record, before you can go, I need to recuse myself from any consideration of this matter because of my prior work with Chester Township.
Okay.
That predates my tenure here.
Very good. All right. So this is a consideration of a resolution, approval of map adjustment for Glen Laura site for Chester Township in Morris County. And this is a voting matter with public comment, but first we need a motion and a second.
I'll offer the resolution.
Okay, moved by Council Member Olstead. We need a second.
I will second, Mr. Chairman.
And seconded by Council Member Vizioli. Before we start our discussion, we have a representative, well, we have the mayor of Chester Township here. So would the mayor like to come up and introduce himself and say a few words about your map change?
Gladly. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mike Ingannon, Ward Mayor of Chester Township. We also have our planner here, David Novak, who can speak much more eloquently than I can on some of the technical details here. What I would simply say to you is that this RMP map adjustment is something that has been discussed by the Chester Township Council and the Planning Board. We are all on the same page with respect to this and have actually gone through the process of drafting an RFP specifically for the site. As council members may know, the Glen Laura site over on Route 24 down the road has been owned by Chester Township for some number of years and was and is intended to help us meet our affordable housing obligation. This adjustment and the RFP that would follow if the adjustment is approved will get us closer to that goal. To reiterate, if the map adjustment is approved, we will be releasing that RFP, and we have heard some anecdotal interest in the site from affordable housing providers. So we think that there could be some actual tangible results here and some forward movement for Chester Township. With that, we appreciate your consideration, and I'll defer to our planner on any technical questions that you might have.
Would you like to come up and say a few words about
Mr. it? Mr. Chairman, I could give a brief report out of it if you want.
Okay, well, should we finish?
We should probably do that first, and then he can respond
okay.
to the question.
All right, we'll have our staff make the presentation first, and then you'll come up. Thank you.
So just to be clear, Corey Piasecki did all the work on this, so I'm just taking all the glory. He just couldn't make it today because his son is not feeling well. So. Yet again, you're stuck with second string me. So in December of 2022, Chester Township submitted a map adjustment request to change a portion of the RMP land use capability zone on block 2606, lot 7, from protection zone to existing community zone. Map adjustments are intended to address policy issues to allow for changes to the RMP's land use capability zone map. However, the map adjustment must result in no net loss of Highlands resources and create a meaningful opportunity to provide affordable housing as a primary goal. Chester Township is looking to accommodate 100% affordable housing development at the former Glen Laura Nursing Home site. The site is currently developed but is unused. The site is 14.38 acres and is currently divided equally between the protection zone and the existing community zone. The request would move approximately 2 acres from the protection zone to the existing community zone to allow for the expansion of the sewer service area to allow the 100% affordable housing development. To approve a map adjustment, the RMP outlines a number of factors which are outlined in the consistency review report. The report details how each requirement is consistent with the goals, policies, and objectives of the regional master plan. With the consent of the Plan Conformance Committee, the consistency report was released for a 30-day public comment period, after which no comments were received. And this side shows the extent of the map change. On this side, this is the existing with the protection zone shown in green. On this side, this is a proposed map adjustment where the existing community zone is expanded to the rear of the property. After the public comment period, the Plan Conformance Committee approved moving forward the map adjustment with conditions shown here and outlined in more detail in the staff report. If you had any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them, or also Dave Novak, the Township Planner, is here as well. Thank you.
You'll never be second string, but I'm sure. Okay, Planner from Chester.
Sure, thanks very much.
Introduce yourself.
Everybody, good evening, or good afternoon, rather. My name is David Novak. I'm with Burgess Associates. We are the planning consultants for Chester Township, and we've been consulting with Chester for around 4 years now. So that essentially covers it. I just want to thank Highlands Council and staff as well, specifically the staff. They've been really helping us through this process step by step. This has been a fairly long process with understanding the site and potential development aspects for affordable housing. Looking at Chester Township from a planning perspective for affordable housing, there are really limited opportunities to accommodate affordable housing in the township. When we look at the planning area and preservation area breakdown, only about 16% of the municipality is located in the planning area. In that area, there's about 960 parcels, but the majority of those, around 840 or so, are already developed with single family dwellings. Those properties comprise of about 2,111 acres. When we look at additional open space properties, that's about another 292 additional acres. So really, when we look at vacant properties in the area, specifically properties identified by vacant as vacant by our tax records, there's really only around 51 acres or so in our planning area, and those are largely split up. They're scattered around that area, average lot size of 3 acres. So this is why Glen Laura has been a major centerpiece for the township's affordable housing strategy. Not to provide too much of a history on that site, but the original barn that's there, it's beautiful. If you drive past it, you can see it. That was constructed in 1868. In 1962, the site was utilized as a nursing home. It eventually came to accommodate 26 beds and 13 bedrooms. In 1989, there was an application to actually increase the facility to 60 beds. And that was initially denied by the zoning board, but it was actually overturned in 1991. By the Superior Court. Obviously, though, those beds were never constructed. But the site, more recently, or at least modern era, was purchased in 2005 by the township, partly utilizing affordable housing funds to amortize the purchase. The intent of that purchase was to enter into a lease purchase agreement with United Cerebral Palsy of Morris and Somerset County. UCP was going to lease the property and essentially rehab the facility to accommodate affordable assisted living units there. In 2008, however, things went awry. UCP informed the township that it couldn't perform its obligation, and that agreement was terminated. So the township has owned and maintained this vacant piece of property ever since. So for nearly 20 years, the township has had the idea to utilize the site for affordable housing purposes. And when we were initially retained, we studied the site, we looked at numerous different ways to do that. Nearly everything was discussed at several hearings and several meetings, some of which were painful. We looked at ideas for inclusionary development, we looked at ideas for mixed use, and we looked at ideas for 100%. The township hired an additional outside consulting agency to get another pair of eyes on it. And ultimately, when you look at the site and you look at the regulatory goals of the Highlands and you look at the surrounding area, the township rightfully, in my opinion, determined that it was the best idea to get the best bang for your buck by looking for 100% affordable development on that site. So the plan right now from the township, as the mayor indicated, is to issue an RFP for a 100% affordable development consisting of around 20 to 25 units or beds. So by achieving this RMP map adjustment and by moving that existing community zone further to the rear while still maintaining a protection zone around the border of that property, specifically around those residential properties, I do think from a planning perspective, we can provide that balance of affordable housing while also protecting the rural nature of the community and addressing the overarching goals of the Highlands Council.
Great, thank you. Any discussion from the council? All right, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Seeing none, just want to let you know that the plan conformance committee, when we met, was all the members were in favor of this map change. So please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
I'm going to abstain because I couldn't hear him, but so I just abstain.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Okay, we
thank you very much.
We move on to the Budget and Finance Committee. I will turn it over now to chairperson of that committee, Council Member Haltaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the Budget and Finance Committee is recommending the approval of four grants totaling $164,000. All the grants are reimbursement based, with final budget amounts determined by the approved scope of work. First is the town of Clinton in Hunterdon County is requesting $75,000 to perform a traffic study that will help assess the nature and capacity of their roads. The purpose of the phase one traffic study will be to complete an initial assessment of the current conditions. This may be used in the subsequent development of a plan to address traffic issues. Obviously, road capacity with the building out of the warehouses in the area and the heavier traffic loads necessitating this type of a study. Number two is town of Belvedere, Warren County, requesting $15,000 for an initial assessment grant as a first step in the plan conformance process, which we consider very good. West Milford Township in Passaic County is requesting $30,500 to prepare a preservation plan for the Wallace Homestead Historic Site. The goal of the preservation plan is to identify and prioritize recommendations for restoration and or stabilization projects associated with the Wallace Homestead. There is a very active group that is spearheading the revival of that property to help support these changes. Jefferson Township, Morris County is requesting $43,500 to complete a second year of study to determine trout habitat and population dynamics at Lake Hepatcon. The present study focuses on water quality measures during peak summer conditions. The data generated may also inform the other important lake management decisions, such as watershed improvements, HAB management, and aeration needs. Mr. Chairman, I'll move this application.
Okay, moved by Council Member Haltaway. We need a second.
I will second, Mr. Chairman.
Second by Council Member Vizioli. Just wanted to see if Council Member James was paying attention.
I'm paying attention, and I'm accusing on one of these, so you know I'm paying attention.
Okay. All right, so we do, before we have a discussion, I think we do have some members of the public from the West Milford Township, the Wallace Homestead Preservation Group. So is there anyone here that would like to speak from the Wallace Estate Homestead Group? Come on up and introduce yourself and let us know how you feel about this.
Hi, everyone. My name is Pat Decker. I'm a lifelong resident of the township, and I'm one of the relative newcomers to the group. But I was really inspired by everything they had done over the last 10 years. We really appreciate the support from the council because we've been trying to do this preservation thing for 2 years. We have an excellent architect. He actually has begun the work now, the initial steps, and we see the property as very well aligned with West Milford's plans. They're a sustainable economic development plan and their open space plan. The features of the property, it's very unique. It's a 200-year-old homestead, but it's about right around 100 acres of property, and there are multiple elements, potential features that align with other goals in the state and county and township, such as the agritourism, ecological concerns that we have. We are right adjacent to the waterways that run through West Milford, so we see the homestead as being a key feature of the new greenway, which I know that the council also is supporting that program. So Wallace Homestead is part of the first phase of that project. And then there's the historical aspect, which we've been working with Passaic County on, aligning with the county historic trailways to get people up into the area. So, you know, we want to just come and really give you our thanks and look forward to working with you and whatever comes, how we can really see how things develop over time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the Wallace Homestead Association?
My name is Ron Perez, and I am a board member and a co-chair of the Friends of Wallace Homestead. We're a volunteer group. Sorry, folks. We're a nonprofit volunteer organization located in West Milford, the township. Pat spoke very eloquently about what our goals and our plans are. I just wanted to speak to the phase two. That was the grant request that we made for $30,500. The phase two will address architectural, structural, engineering, and construction details to complete the project. That cost us $30,500, which we requested from the Highlands Council. This plan is a proactive way for the protection of the community's historic resources and character. It informs the community about its heritage, history, and encourages economic development and tourism. The preservation plan leaves a lasting legacy for future generations with the continued use of the Wallace Homestead. This will be a living record of the community's heritage and culture. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the association? I will tell you that I knew Lou and John Wallace very, very well. Lou was the board attorney when I was on the school board back in the 80s. And they were brothers, as you know, and they were quite important members of the West Milford community. I used to help Lou when he got older decorate for Christmas. He was crazy about Christmas, and he used to have anybody that came to his house had to take the tour. I know, since knowing them, that they would be very, very happy about what you're doing with their former estate. So thank you for that. We also have a representative from Jefferson Township. This is for the Water Quality Assessment Grant. That's Dr. Fred Lubnow. Fred, you're getting to be quite a fixture here. It's from the Hydro, Princeton Hydro. Do you want to say anything about it?
Sure. So I just wanted to mention, you know, why we're doing this. So this is part of a study that the Lake Hopatcong Knee Deep Club, the Lake Hopatcong Foundation, and the Lake Hopatcong Commission have been doing. This is the second year of a three-year study to do a population dynamic estimate of the carryover trout, specifically the brown trout that are stocked every year. So, and then as part of that, these funds will be used to help assess habitat relative to the population data that we'll be collecting. So, like I said, those three organizations paid for the trout that were stocked, and then they are collecting the data in terms of recapture. And so there's some pretty simple models. We can then estimate how many of the entire population survive. So this study will do those quantitative assessments, but in addition to that, we'll also collect a lot of water quality data, both in the center of the lake, in the main portion, to assess carryover trout conditions over the summer, as well as over 50 sites around the near shore areas for some refuge for the trout. We did it last year and we found some pretty interesting stuff. Like, for example, we thought once the carryover habitat disappears, it just disappears and reappears. Well, in spite of having a very dry, hot, late summer season, it would sort of vacillate or appear and disappear. And that high frequency data allowed us to confirm that indeed there is that carryover habitat. It may disappear temporarily for a few days, but it does reestablish itself. And then the last thing that this study will do is, as we collect our data in the nearshore areas, we're trying to link potential trout habitat to areas that either need restoration or areas that have been restored. So even though a lot of the watershed work at Lake Hopatcong focuses on reducing nutrients to control the haves that have been known to occur at the lake, we also want to link that to trout habitat. So it gives extra, when one of these organizations asks for funding for the state or federal agencies to implement stormwater measures, it gives it extra emphasis that not only are we protecting the lake against haves, but we're also trying to protect the lake for the water quality relative to the trout. So that's what that study will be covering. So it's a lot of additional water quality monitoring, and then a report similar to the one that was submitted during the 2022 investigation.
Thank you, Fred.
Yep.
You don't need to say anything more. You had me at trout.
I have a comment on that.
Yes. He had you at trout, too. I know that. Sure. He's a fly fisherman.
Do you have data saying that the brown trout live year after year in that lake?
Well, that's the data that we're collecting. So the Knee Deep Club, and what's interesting is they stocked the first year the trout. We didn't get a lot of trout over 2022, but surprisingly when they stocked this year at the beginning, we've actually collected more recapture at this point from when they were stocked in the winter to now. We collected more trout, recovery trout, than we did all last year. Part of that was actually the tags, that the tags are easier to find. But the other is the Knee Deep Club this year really promoted the recapture and collecting that data. So that's the recapture data that we're going to use to see, okay, can these trout carry over multiple years? That's why it's going to be a three-year study. So we're working on answering that question.
Well, I'm very curious to know at the end of the study if those brown trout do survive year after year.
And that's what the Deep Club is very interested in as well.
All right. Thank you. Okay, any other discussion from the council? This is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone from the public like to address the council on this resolution only? No one. Okay, so please poll.
No.
Oh, wait, we do have a...
Just a reminder to Councilmember James to abstain as to the West Milford grant due to conflict, and you can vote on the others.
So the first the first resolution is for the three.
No, it's all one.
He can vote yes, but abstain on West Milford.
Yep.
Okay. So please vote.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
I abstain on West Milford and yes on the rest.
Councilmember Sabatich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
Chairman Richka?
Yes. Good luck to all of you. All right. Our last resolution is Affordable Housing Committee, and I'm going to turn this over to Councilmember Vizioli, who's the chairperson of that committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to start by saying that the committee has been meeting since January, religiously since January. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the staff and the committee members for their objective participation. I mean, we've had some real candid meetings, if you will. There were five particular organizations that responded to the RFQ. We interviewed three of them based on council staff input. Our final interview was Tuesday. And we narrowed it down. We, after interviewing the three, we decided unanimously to go with Colliers Engineering and Design based on their past history, their objectivity, and their presentation. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Colliers Engineering and Design.
Okay, a move by Councilmember Vizioli. We need a second. Second by Councilmember Francis. We don't have anyone from the public to speak on this yet. So any council members, any discussion on this? No discussion at all. All right, that was, as you pointed out, that was a long set of meetings that we did have on that, and the committee did participate in all of the interviews, and I think we all agreed that Colliers was what we would recommend to the council. So, seeing no others, I will ask that this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anybody from the audience like to address us on this resolution only? Okay, Mr. Klump, as you're making your way up there, it's been a long time since Hank Klump has been here, and we welcome you back. It's good to see you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Hank Klump, okay. My question is affordable housing, and we can go back to the beginning of this act, and how does that have to do with water? I'd be more concerned about the golf courses that eat up water like crazy. They got contracts that they can take as much water as they want.
Now, especially that one in Bedminster.
You got it. You got it. But you know, there's Trenton, Herring Glen, there's all the Sanic. There's tons of it. But millions of gallons. Here we are. This is what the Highlands Act's about. Where's the water? It's gone to the golf courses. And we're, as property owners, are sacrificing for this. And how does it have to do with the fair, the property, the affordable housing? I don't understand. I've been away, but I don't understand how that has anything to do with water. Can anybody tell me? Or tell me after the meeting, or whatever.
Well, I think it would be right for us to mention, you know, to the members of the audience about our involvement with affordable housing. So if Ben, if you can just kind of sum that up.
Sure.
Thank you, Hank. You can.
I appreciate it.
You can talk to me anytime you want. You know.
Well,
you
know, I don't understand that has something to do with
it. I think you brought up a good point. People should know why we are getting involved with affordable housing.
You got it.
So the development of affordable housing in the state as a whole, and in particular in the Highlands region, will generate a significant amount of new development. So when we look at the management of the region as a whole, particularly with the management of land use for the protection of the water source, we want to make sure that that constitutional obligation to provide affordable housing is consistent with the goals in, of the Regional Master Plan and the Highlands Act by making sure that the number of affordable units built in the region, where they're built, and how they're built is consistent with those other goals to make sure there isn't a negative impact on those resources. So that's really about balancing the future development of the region with the ability to manage that future development in a way that will ensure that those resources are protected.
Thank you, Ben. Okay. Maybe if you can come up at the end.
Sure.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Abstain.
Did he
abstain?
Abstain. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
I'm recused on caller, so I abstain.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. Motion passes. We are now finished with our resolution, so we are going to move on to old and new business. Do any council members have any old or new business they'd like to discuss today?
Well, thank you for the two councils for the support of Lake Patna. Rogers Lake in New Jersey, and we need to pay attention to what the bits sick our entire region, so what we do there with the help of the Dr. Love now and
And what's good too is that Lake Patna is the largest lake in New Jersey. Greenwood Lake is the second, and we are working together.
Yeah, I'm talking to them about we're talking about the issue of that.
Yeah,
it's a common problem. So it's important. Our big lakes are extremely important.
Very good. All right. Any other old or new business?
Just
yes.
Quickly, I saw in the report that there's some consideration being given to grants for stormwater compliance for municipalities. I just want to say I think that's a really great idea that more and more I'm hearing concerns from municipal officials about the impacts of this next round. And so I'm interested to see how that develops and what that turns into in terms of a grant program.
We'll probably have more information for you at the July meeting. But yeah, you know, but yes, understand that all 88 municipalities have an obligation to make at least 30 changes, you know, newer or modified requirements for Highlands municipalities, and there is a particularly disproportionate number of Highlands communities that have are now going from Tier B to Tier A, and they have significant, about 60 new requirements, a little less than 60 new requirements that they have to comply with. So any support that we can give them towards that end both reaches our goals and is I think in line with our responsibility to support those municipalities.
Thank you. Any other old or new business? All right, seeing none, we're going to move on to public comment. To ensure ample time for all members of the public to comment, we will limit comments to 3 minutes. Questions raised in this period may not be responded to at this time, but where feasible, will be followed up by the council and its staff. So who would like to be first to come up and address the council on any issues?
Hold my notes here.
Just let us know your name and where you live.
Dylan Medici, I'm in Byram, staff member of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I had intended to submit comments for the Chester ECZ expansion, but apparently I must not have pressed the button or they somehow got lost and weren't accepted. We find at the New Jersey Highlands Coalition Chester's expansion of the ECZ area to be largely consistent with the Regional Master Plan, given their needs for affordable housing in the area. But we want to make it known that any approval of this expansion, given the conditions present, that the developer should have a that the approval for the conditions the approval for the plan should be conditional upon the developer fulfilling all of its commitments and that they should specify a duration of the commitment and a time span within which they should occur or recur, and should also include a plan for verifying that the committed actions occur or recur. And if they do not, there should be penalties for non-compliance and how any penalty should be enforced. If it could be anticipated that any compliance or non-compliance of the future commitment can result in significant adverse impacts or financial losses, then a performance bond should be required to cover the adverse impacts or losses. So that's for Chester. And for the walkthrough of Sparta Mountain, we find it very encouraging that the Highlands Council is taking an active interest in forestry in the region, especially with Sparta and how onerous the Sparta issue has become recently. We know for a fact that forest integrity and water quality are directly linked. It's why the Highlands are protected in the first place, and it's largely a reason of why the Highlands Council and the Regional Master Plan exist today, to ensure that water quality is protected and to ensure that the forest upon which that water quality depends is protected. One thing which I didn't see mentioned in the walkthrough, and which isn't immediately apparent as vegetative regrowth, are impacts to water quality by these logging plans. As the Highlands Council goes forward with assessing logging and logging projects in the Highlands, I think that the impacts to forest soils and water quality should definitely be a consideration. And these logging plans are consistent not only with the goals that are laid out in the plans. I've seen that the walkthrough has found that largely the regeneration has been in line with what has been specified in the forest stewardship plans, but they should also be checking for impacts to water quality and forest soils. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Hank Clark. Oh, wait a minute.
Nick.
Nick?
Yeah.
Come on up.
Yeah.
Okay,
we got one more. That's not Nick. Yes, I'm Dorothea Stillinger. I live in Chatham Township. I just had a question. In the April minutes, the director's report, it said science staff did this and that and the other thing, the Sparta Mountain site visit, and it says comments were submitted to the NJDEP. How would I go about reading those comments?
Those comments are not being released, but the report based on which those comments were made are available. They're out on the table, or they're going to be out on the table after the meeting. After this meeting. So you can just, if you sit tight a little bit, we'll get you those that report and you can read it.
Okay, that's good. But the comments themselves are not going
to
be available.
They're advisory, consultative, and deliberative. They're not subject to public release, so we won't be releasing the comments, but the comments were largely based on the report, and
sure,
we are releasing the report.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you. Nick?
Nick Homiak from Persephone. I was a little disappointed with the survey. I did hear that the oldest site was not regenerating. I believe I heard that. And I heard very little about invasives intruding upon the disturbance that was made. I find that hard to believe. But by being a member of the participant of the New Jersey Forest Task Force, I doubt whether NJDEP does have any impact studies, because I don't think they're mandated to do any, and with their budget, they're probably not gonna do it. But I believe that you should have insisted upon that, or have concurred with the Forest Watch people who have been going up there and seeing this. But I still believe, honestly, and I think everyone here, it is a violation of the Highlands Act itself and of the public trust. And the whole purpose of the task force was the role forests play or look in climate mitigation and their role in preserving biodiversity, and that seems to have been forgotten. And I was even under the impression that certain people on the task force from the New Jersey Forestry Association didn't even believe in climate change. And when Dr. William Momaw, the father of proforestation and the one of the participants in the intergovernmental panel on climate that appeared in Paris, when they put themselves, there was one member of that forest task force, he put himself almost on the same level as Dr. Momaw. In other words, the doctor's research and everything on climate is just an opinion. And in the beginning of the task force, Senator Smith said, I do not want to hear the words logging and lumber mentioned. And that's what it was all about. So I really don't understand really what's going on with the whole thing. And when we went to Trenton, Elliot Ruga from the Highlands Coalition, he brought up the fact that it was almost like two different planets we were on from the what we interpret that the Forest Task Force brought to light. So there's a parallel universe there. The key to saving this whole thing is the proforestation and a memorandum to stop this, what's going on. I also would like, this is a map, the coal map, climate.
You need to conclude soon.
I'm going to give it, this shows you, look at the purple. That's up in Maine. That's where the least carbon sequestration is. The green is where the most is. And if you'll notice, New Jersey Highlands is in the green.
Thanks, Nick. You can give that to Annette.
All right. And one last thing. I was up in West Milford.
Very quickly.
All right. The people up there in the Newark watershed are totally convinced that fire was committed by ATV riders. A lot of the ATV riders or policemen,
thank
that's
you.
Part of the problem.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. All right.
Vocabulary okay. And the coal map.
Okay. This way, sir. Okay, Hank Klum. Disappointing clarification when Hank's coming up. You did say in your report that the older...
it was 10 years.
The older site was regenerated.
It was the newest site that wasn't regenerated.
The newest site was right. Not regenerated, not the older site. You right. Said the older site was regenerated.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So,
yes. I've got a question, and not really a question, but
comments
I've been around
and questions.
Quite a yes. Few years. But as far as going back to 204 at the Senate Environmental Committee Assembly Environment and Solid Waste, and at that meeting was Senator Smith. Now, as you people might know, Senator Smith is, I'd say, a little untruthful, and that might be some of your problems. But in this document here, which is factual, he actually, if I can get the page up, he talks about everything, and then he comes up with, this is for the Highlands. This is before the Highlands Act was passed. And if there was one reason tonight, lesson tonight, it was a voice in the background from Tom Cruise, show me the money. Laughter, and Chairman McCune, which is the other side, and I pledge to you, we will show you the money. We currently are working with the governor's office to put together a dedicated and guaranteed source of funding for the Highlands, which is making a sacrifice for the rest of the state. It's properly compensated. We will show you the money. Well, there's a Pinocchio over there. And if that isn't Senator Smith, I don't know who is. So whatever Senator Smith tells you, he speaks with a forked tongue. So believe which one you want. I'll submit this, and if you'd put it in public record, I'd appreciate it. Thanks again, and I'm very happy to be here. Let's put it that way.
We're happy to see you. Anyone else from the public like to address the council? Yes, gentlemen, over here.
Good afternoon. I'm Richard Kelski. I'm the vice president and director of the New Jersey Forestry Association, which you heard maligned earlier. We are an organization that's been in existence for 48 years, been involved in sustainable forestry that entire time. I was very pleased to hear the report on Sparta Mountain. In fact, we conducted two publicly invited the public walks on Sparta Mountain this past month and toured all of the sites and saw very similar conditions to what you talked about. The regrowth is truly astounding, with oaks and hickories coming up and very, very few invasives, which I'm sure you saw. That's another amazing aspect of the site. There are virtually zero invasives, and each site is progressing just as planned, as I saw it. And we had a very interesting group of people from the public, all walks, and everyone was very positive about the work being done. I just wanted to point out also that there were four co-chairs of the task force, and it was not one of the people who stood here and said they were a participant. They were not a member of the task force. Those four members were the New Jersey Audubon, they were the Sierra Club, they were the New Jersey Conservation Foundation, and the New Jersey Forestry Association. And those are very diverse groups, if you know them. And they were able to work together to bridge a lot of gaps. And I assure you, there were no deniers of science present from any group. And then everybody worked to try to achieve a product that would be implementable and of quality and use to the state of New Jersey for its public forests. So I would encourage you to look closely at the report, and I also encourage you to reach out to us. We can be your resource for scientifically based forest management and information on how it is applied. And so with that, I thank you, and I thank you for your work.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public would like to address the council? Julia Summers. No, go ahead, Julia, you come on in.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I don't actually remember, I've attended all of those Highlands Task Force meetings. I don't remember Mr. Kelski speaking up, but I had a very different experience from the one he just represented. My question actually is very quick. It is incredibly frustrating to hear about visits to Sparta Mountain with just the DEP, actually the person who is responsible for developing the plans on Sparta Mountain, without taking some people who might be able to provide another viewpoint. It would be very healthy to have those different viewpoints presented at the same time. I really welcome the fact that you said that there will be other visitations to Sparta Mountain, and really hope that you will take some of our scientists with you at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cho?
My name is David Shope, and first of all, I would like to show you a map which delineates the Highlands. Here it is right here. And notice that it stops in a straight line at the Massachusetts border, and it stops in a straight line at the Maryland border. The Highlands, therefore, is a political map. Not necessarily scientific at all. The I kind of reviewed the Highlands Act as to all the whereas as to why it was created in the first place, and it seems that it was important that there be not left be to the uncoordinated and land use decisions of 88 municipalities, 7 counties, and blah, blah, blah. So the state determined that this was so important that the state had to intercede, create the Highlands Act, and create the Highlands Council, amongst other things. It also mentions one of the reasons for this act was sprawl. The next section of the act was definitions. I looked under sprawl, under the definitions, I couldn't find it. Tell me what sprawl is. What has really happened is the state has told us Hicks up here, you can't manage your own affairs. Therefore, we must step in and essentially subdivide out of the area what is effectively a colony. We are a colony of the state. We are treated as such, and you're part of the colonial administration. That's how I see you. You're nothing more than colonial administrators with a bias towards those who colonized. The law gives you the bias, and by golly, you're exercising it. Let me leave it at that.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council at this time? Seeing none, we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Holterways.
I will second.
Seconded by Councilmember Vizioli. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned.